From Vermont Public, this is The Frequency. I'm Anna Van Dyne.
And I'm Abigail Chiles. It's Thursday, March 16th. Here are today's headlines.
Housing developers and the Scott administration are raising concerns about the latest changes to a major housing bill in the Vermont legislature. On Wednesday, the Senate Committee on Natural Resources dialed back on proposed overhauls to Act 250 that were intended to streamline the development of affordable housing in the state. Josh Hanford, Commissioner of Housing and Community Development, says he was concerned about the elimination of one particular provision. It would have gotten rid of Act 250 oversight when 25 homes are built within 5 miles of each other.
I don't think that's controversial. I don't think that's some huge overdevelopment of Vermont. I think we desperately need that housing units. And if we can't up those numbers, I think we're going to be stuck where we are.
Environmental watchdogs welcomed the changes, but say they still have concerns about proposed regulatory reforms in the legislation.
Also in the legislature, some Vermont lawmakers say manufacturers are making it too difficult and expensive for farmers to repair the equipment they rely on to do their jobs. Kevin O'Reilly with the U.S. Public Interest Research Group told lawmakers this week that farmers often need special software or codes in order to get a piece of equipment up and running after a repair.
Because farmers don't have access to that, because independent mechanics can't get access to that, that means they have to go back to the dealer. And when they have to go back to the dealer, they're forced to pay whatever the dealer wants to charge and deal with delays.
House lawmakers have introduced a bill that would require manufacturers provide everything a farmer or logger needs to repair equipment on their own. Industry representatives say the legislation could eliminate financial incentives for dealer-authorized repair outlets and make it more difficult for farmers to find qualified technicians to fix their equipment.
And back to housing, the University of Vermont broke ground Wednesday on a project expected to provide nearly 300 apartments for graduate students, faculty, and staff. The Catamount Run development will be located within South Burlington's recently developed city center. UVM President Suresh Garamilla says most of the units will be for graduate students. But he also says the lack of housing in the Burlington area has made it hard for the university to hire.
So we've actually lost faculty and presumably some staff because of the housing issue. So we want to make housing options available for our staff and faculty as well.
The Catamount Run project will be completed in phases, with about half the units expected to be available by next summer.
And finally, a private school in Hartford will appeal a recent decision from the Vermont Principals Association to ban the school from participating in association activities and tournaments. The ban came after an incident last month when the Mid-Vermont Christian School girls basketball team withdrew from a state tournament rather than play against a team with a transgender player. The Principals Association said Mid-Vermont Christian violated policies protecting the rights of trans athletes to participate in school sports. A school official told the Bennington Banner that the Principals Association should, quote, reconsider its policies and balance the rights of every athlete in the state.
Coming up, we'll warm up with a visit to a backyard sauna. That story after this. To help us make our way through the end of winter, the Vermont Public Newsroom is reporting a series of stories all about heat. Today, Michaela Lefrak takes us to one of the hottest, steamiest places she could find, a tiny backyard sauna heated to almost 200 degrees. Michaela picks it up from here.
Hi!
I found you.
I found you.
Nils Schenholm lives in an 1850s farmhouse at the top of a steep road in Duxbury. And for the past 30 years, he's made a living building saunas in the Finnish tradition. He's invited me to try out the one in his backyard.
Birthday suit, bathing suit, towel. And yeah, let's go. We have to run.
I get on my swimsuit and we patter out his back door onto the snow. A short path takes us to a little red and green wood building with a gabled roof and a small porch.
It's a low door, so don't forget to duck.
Inside, a little wood stove is churning out intense heat. He's been tending the fire for over an hour to get it ready.
So anywhere in the 180 to 190 range, you're right in the sweet spot, I guess. And if you do it on a routine basis, you really need that. Like right now, it feels a little bit on the wimpy side. Feels a little bit on the wimpy side.
He ladles water onto stones on top of the wood stove. A wave of steam wafts up, spreads across the ceiling, then slowly descends down. At this point, we are both pouring sweat. Shenholm seems like he could withstand any amount of heat, but he says he does have a limit.
Anything above around 205, and the hair inside my nose starts to feel like it's on fire. And I don't really like that, sir.
Yeah.
You have to mouth breathe,
yeah,
which is lame also.
After about 15 minutes of schwitzing, we take a break, stand outside in the snow. Then it's right back in.
The soundtrack of the sauna, it's your breath, and then it's the stove's breath. You can hear the flames sort of rumbling a little bit. And then there's this.
Sauna culture came to the U.S. via the Finns. People swear by its health benefits, including relieving stress and tension. It also creates a way to socialize and relax in places with long, dark winters. Sauna culture really took off in the 70s. That's when Shenholm had his first sauna experience at a YMCA in Maine. Now, he builds saunas for private clients and consults on bigger projects. He also sells sauna kits, basically all the log parts for a sauna, unassembled. Those run around $15,000. It's a lot of money, but Shenholm says he's already booked solid through the end of next year. He saw a swell of interest when the pandemic started, and it hasn't let up.
You know, it makes a difference in people's lives. Absolutely.
When we're done, we go outside and Shenholm pours a bucket of cold water over my head. It feels amazing. Less polar plunge, more purification. We stand and look out on the snow for a few minutes. I feel warm. Then the familiar winter chill starts to spread again, up through my toes. It's time to head in. For Vermont Public, I'm Michaela Lefrak.
Thanks for listening to The Frequency today. We had additional reporting from Peter Hirschfeld, Liam Elder Connors, and Adia Ghostin.
Our executive producer is Mark Davis, and our music is by Blue Dot Sessions. I'm Anna Van Dyne.
And I'm Abigail Giles. Talk to you tomorrow.